Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And my cup runneth over. And the pastor's been preaching about spiritual warfare. And he talked about the weapon of praise this morning. And I want to talk to you about worship tonight. Because worship is one of the weapons that we have against the enemy. And before I get started, Quentin. Brother Quentin, you can't forget that name. Because everybody that I know Quentin can sing like an angel. Amen. It was Quentin Mills in the day. And Quentin, and what was the last name? Hedgepeth, that's right, Brother Hedgepeth. He works at Waffle House there on 301 in Rocky Mount. So if you get hungry for a waffle, he's the manager over there. So he runs things, and I understand that's a great place to eat. And we're going to bless him tonight. He's not able to be at our Connections lunch and on Sunday morning, so we're going to take him tonight and give him whatever he wants to eat. All in favor, say aye. And the ayes have it, brother. You've been voted in as an official part of our church and Connection. Amen. Don't you love God tonight? Give the Lord another hand of praise. Lord, we bless you tonight. And Sister Darnell, thank you for that special. I didn't know what she was going to see. She was practicing that song, and I thought, that goes right in line with the message. And that happened a few Sunday nights with Sister Cricket back there. Amen. And Brother Tom, they're a blessing as well. I'm going to miss somebody. Amen. But if I miss you, I love you, and I'll get to you later. Amen. Brother Bill. Amen. Brother Bill. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the pages. Amen. Praise God. I was praying in my car on a Sunday. Often I'll pray in the car so Darnell can have some privacy and not hear my yelling and screaming. But I was praying. I said, Lord, I believe you're going to send us. We have wonderful talent, but I believe you're going to send us some more that can sing. And I just pray you do that. And Lord, just send us some people that can really sing and minister even more than what we have and just expand our territory. And I'm telling you, I got out of my Lincoln Town car and Brother Ray Page drove up right behind me. Literally. And I don't remember what he was needing or what he asked. I said, well, Lord, you answered immediately. Yeah, that's right. You remember that Sunday? I've never told that story till right now. I've never told it. But God is up to something. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 4. And I want to give you three reasons we should be worshiping God. Three reasons we should be worshiping God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. And then saith Jesus unto Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Now let's read the rest of that scripture together. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Read that again. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Father, thank you tonight for the anointing. Thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for the services. And we give you praise, Lord. Touch me tonight, body, soul, and spirit. May I decrease and may you increase. Let this word go forth tonight. Make it to be what it needs to be for your people. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody with a high five, you're blessed and highly favored of God. Yes. You may be seated. I said, you're blessed and highly favored of God. When it comes to the subject of worship, everybody say the word worship. It's a big subject. One of the things they teach us as preachers in these classes that we take is that you need to narrow your topic. You can't be like the little boy at school that's for show and tell. They used to have show and tell. And he got up in front of the class and said, I want to talk about the world and all that's in it. It's a little bit of a big subject. And that's the way it is when you think of the subject of worship. I mean, it is a huge subject. We just could not in one message exhaust all there is about worship. Did you know that worship is actually mentioned more in the Bible than any other subject? For example, you'll find the virgin birth was mentioned three times, and what a crucial doctrine that is. The Great Commission was also mentioned in three places. But over and over and over, book after book, passage after passage, verse after verse, you read of the subject or of the mention of worship. All the way in eternity past, in Job chapter 38 and verse 7. Job chapter 38 and verse 7 says, "When the evening stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." From Job 38, 7, from eternity past, when the evening stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, talking about the planets and the stars and the created beings and galaxies and all of that, to all the way in eternity future. In the book of Revelation, passage after passage, principle after principle, prophecy after prophecy, you come across reference after reference, scene after scene, all of this concerning this subject of worship. And do you think that is important? If you do, say amen tonight. You see, the Bible is truly a worship manual. It's a huge subject just because of how many times that it's mentioned in the Word of God. But not only that, when it comes to worship, it's not only a great big subject, but there's many different angles and approaches that you could take to worship. For example, we could do a sermon on the expressions of worship. Expressions, and like we've been doing tonight, I've been seeing you lifting up your hands and standing and clapping and all of these things, singing, and maybe just a tear running down your cheek, maybe sacrificing something of value like Abraham laying. Did you know that was an act of worship? When you lay tithe and offering into the offering plate, that is a worship. Shouting, kneeling, bowing. There's six Hebrew words for praise. Yada, which means extending the hands. Hallel, which means to clamor foolishly. Amen. That means that some of y'all are doing that in the glory, glory, hallelujah. You were clamoring to the world, says foolishly. But what you were really doing was worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Somebody say amen. The word Shabbat means to be loud. You can't think of praise. Be loud. Shout. The word Barak means to kneel down. The word Zamar means to touch the strings, Brother Philip. Zamar, Tehillah means to praise the Lord. And these are expressions of worship. Why don't we take a moment and express our worship and our praise? It's our breath. It's your breath in our lungs. We express by clapping. We express by shouting. We express by dancing. We express by running. We express worship. Somebody give him a hand of praise in this house tonight. I could do a whole series on those expressions of worship. And we need to express our worship to God. I got up the other morning we have a morning meeting at Best Buy, and it just came to me. And every morning we shout out the store number and we say 1892, go blue. We shout it out every morning. And sometimes it's more enthusiastic than others. And I said, let me do it this time. And I said, you got to say, instead of saying go blue, we're gonna say 1892, bless you. Amen. And I said, we are blessed by. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Elam. I know you like that, brother. I don't work it, but I'm blessed. Hallelujah. It's blessed by. Glory to God. I'm expressing my worship. I don't have to be in a sanctuary. I can be it blessed by because I'm blessed and highly favored of God. 1892, bless you. Glory to God. Come on. And give him praise here tonight. Then I could talk about the effects of worship. Because one thing you learn about worship is this: when you worship, something happens. Just like throwing a rock into the pond, something's going to happen. Pastor talked about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When they worshiped, the enemy was defeated. That was an effect of worship. Don't underestimate your worship. It absolutely, absolutely, it will defeat the enemy. Can you say amen? What about Paul and Silas in the prison? What about Paul and Silas in the prison? Do you think their worship had an effect? Of course it did. It set the entire prison free. Everybody was free. Think about that. Before they worshiped, Everybody was locked in chains. After they worshiped, the chains were broken and lives were changed. There is effect in worship. When you withhold worship, you're withholding your own victory and the victory of others. There is something that happens and reverberates and redounds to the glory of God when we worship. Amen. Look at Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 17. It says that in the millennial reign, which is to come, we know the rapture is going to take place, the sudden coming of the Lord, 7 years of tribulation, then the millennial reign. But it says in Zechariah 14 and verse 17, and it shall be that whosoever will not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to do what? Worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them there shall be what? No rain. Say this with me. No worship. No rain. Say it again. No worship. No, I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, I've been in some churches. I have been in some places that's as dry as the Sahara Desert. I don't know that the middle, drop somebody in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and I promise you, you would have more feeling of God than you would in some churches that's got a cross up in the air. They've got a pulpit, they got pews, but they have no rain. It's dry. Because why? If there's no worship, there's no rain. Do you want to know why God is raining down His presence in this place? You don't want to know why we feel what we feel when we gather? I'll tell you why. We have a pastor that leads us into worship. And brother, when we worship, something good is about to happen and something good is on the way. When we worship, rain comes. God blesses. Oh, we bless your name, Lord, for the effects of worship. Worship causes things to happen. If you need a healing, the best thing you can do is worship. If you need to be sanctified, you can worship. If you need a turnaround in your marriage, the best thing you can do is worship. If you need deliverance, the best thing to do is worship. If you need breakthrough, the best thing you can do is worship. I said something happens when we worship. Why don't you stand and let's have some effect? And let's have some expressions and let's glorify and magnify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, we want the rain, Lord. We bless you tonight, Lord. Heal, deliver, set free, call, and confirm. And we give you a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those are the expressions of worship, the effects of worship. And I could talk to you about worshiping forever, eternality. We will be worshiping forever and forever. In fact, I'm not going to start worshiping. And I know we sing the song, we sang it this morning, when we all get to heaven. I'm already getting ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, our bodies get tired. Do you know we're just physically limited? Can you imagine our pastor when we see him in heaven? If he's this wired up now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to be like the roadrunner. Amen. The coyote can't catch up with our pastor. Glory to God. Even in this world, can you imagine worshiping God without a body and heart and medication and things like that? We'll just be free from the bottom of our spirits. Oh, won't it be heaven? Won't it be glory just to go forever and ever? I praise you. I love you. I worship you. What a delight. Worship is a delight. I enjoy it. I am thrilled when I sit at the majesty of the throne of God and worship Him forever. The angels and the cherubs say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, and your glory fills the heavens and the earth. What a wonderful thing it'll be in eternity. Can you say amen? Now, I told you worship was a big subject. I just gave you three angles that we could talk about the subject of worship, but I'm going to take a shift here, and I'm going to give you the three main reasons, three main absolute reasons why we should worship. And I've already given you some because of the effects. That's a good reason. But that's a good reason. But I want to give you the three main reasons to worship God. Are you ready for it tonight? I believe we should worship God. I want to narrow my focus and give you three things, and then I'll move on out of the way. And Sister Darnell, I want you to sing that song. We're going to do that for the altar call, and then I want the Wilsons to be ready after the song ends. Is that okay? So, number one, first main reason to worship God. God demands it. Somebody say demands. Demand. Or he commands it. Now, I don't think we get that. In other words, God doesn't request it. He requires it. I think we need to let that settle in, that the main reason we should worship God is an obedience to his command. Are we going to be obedient children? When daddy says, go take out the trash, a good child will go do what? Take out the trash. When mommy says to the little child to make up your bed, and I'm pointing to some people over in the corner, then you should make up your bed. If the teacher says do 50 problems for mathematics, we have gotten away from the just simple obedience. No explanations, no excuses. You don't have to give me 3-page report. I shouldn't have to give you 30 reasons why. You're the child, I'm the parent. It's very simple. Do as I tell you to do. Can I get a witness out there? When you do it, then things are good. You're blessed, I'm blessed. When you don't do it, there are consequences. Used to be, now there's not. Used to be consequences. But there's something called obedience. You just do it, not because you feel, I don't feel like making up my bed. I don't feel like doing my homework. I'd rather watch TV. I don't feel like coming to church. You gotta obey the Lord. You've got to follow his commands. If he says worship, you don't sit there like a stone face. You respond and say, yes, master, I worship you. You command it, you demand it, and I give it because you are God Almighty. I worship you in obedience to your scripture and your word. Let's be obedient tonight. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, Brother David. Go back there, because I want you to look at that last part. Jesus said to him, and by the way, this is a war. I read that text because Jesus was in the war. He was fighting. You know, the devils came to him during that time. And this is not a coincidence that this passage is in the middle. Brother, there's a part of worship that deals with your warfare. That's another angle. But listen, notice what Jesus told the devil. Thou shalt worship. Somebody say, thou. All right. Did that sound like a suggestion? That's a command. We have the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt worship. It's commanded. It's demanded. It's payment due. Just like I have to write a check for the house payment. It's due. I don't give no lip. I don't go to, you know, to, I can complain about it, but before it's over with, I got to write that check and pay that house payment. Can you? It's got to happen. Amen. It's demand. It's due. And in fact, when you think about the Ten Commandments, by the way, all Ten Commandments are really a form of worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Isn't that worship? No idols or graven images. Why? So you can worship God. Do not take his name in vain. Because the opposite of taking his name in vain is taking his name in praise. So that's part of worship. Remember the Sabbath day? That's worship. Honor your father and mother? That's a form of worship. And the other six implies you can't worship if you don't. You can't worship if you murder. You can't worship if you're committing adultery. You can't worship if you're stealing, if you're lying, or if you're coveting. So really, the Ten Commandments is all about worship. God is saying, do these things, worship me, and don't do these things so you can continue to worship me. It's all about worship. That's why God said the greatest commandment of all, it sums up everything, is just this: to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. That's another way of saying the greatest commandment of all is to worship the Lord. You know, God demands worship from creation. Isaiah 55 and 12 says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hill," watch this, "the mountains and the hill shall break forth unto you in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." God commands the trees to worship, and they clap their hands. Psalms 148, 2 and 3 says, "Praise him, all armies of heaven. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars." Oh, which the host means stars. Psalm 148, 2, and go to verse 3. "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you star." In other words, God demands the sun to worship him. God demands the moon to glorify him. God says to the stars, go back to the book of Job. You don't have to do it right now. When it says the sons of God sang and shouted, they're talking about the stars. Actually, scientists have discovered they have a musical frequency that you can pick up, that NASA can pick up, and all it is that they're singing and worshiping. All of creation praises God. Creation praises God. Go to Psalm 148 and verse 7. Psalm 148, verse 7. In fact, just walk with me through that. Brother David, give me a thumbs up when you got it. Psalm 148 and verse 7 says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures and ocean depths, wild animals." And are we at there yet? 148 and verse 7. You getting there? All right, finally. All right. Hallelujah. "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps." Go to the next one. "Fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word." Verse 9. "Mountains and hills, trees and all cedars." Go to verse 10. And it says, the next scripture, verse 10. "Beast and all cattle, creeping I'm telling you, all of creation is commanded to worship the Lord. Not only the creation, but what about his angels? Go to Psalm 148 and 2. We were there just a minute ago. "Praise him, all ye angels." The angels are commanded. You know what the angels are? Those bright, shining, otherworldly, telestial beings that have might and dominion and authority. They are the anointed ones that serve God and at times are commissioned to serve you and I. And at times they appear to us unaware. Angels are commanded to worship and serve the Lord. Now, I want to say tonight, if God commands the cattle to worship him, and if God demands that the creeping things worship him, if God commands that the angels worship him, but let me tell you something, he certainly demands it of his highest created being, which is human beings. Turn around and tell somebody, that's you. Amen. You may not look human, act human, but you is human. All right. All right. And you mean to tell me God commands the sun and the sun says, "I'll worship you," and God commands the birds of the air and they chirp out praises to their king who provides them food and season, and to consider the lilies of the field as they wave and worship. You mean God commands the angels who have power and authority, and then he commands us and he says, "Now you worship," and we turn around and say, "I don't think so. I don't have time for it. Maybe somebody else." No, you are in disobedience. You may not feel worthy. It's not about whether you're worthy. These things are not worthy in and of themselves. I'll never be worthy in and of myself. But that's the part of worship. In fact, someone said worship really comes from the meaning worth-ship. And it really means that we give worth to the one who is worthy, the one who is spotless and pure. I'll never, don't wait till you're perfect, brother. Don't wait because, well, I got skeletons in the closet. It's all right. You know what? God is a God who can receive your worship because your sins are under the blood and they are forgiven, and you have a right and you have a command to worship. Why don't somebody worship the Lord here tonight? God commands it. God demands it. Let's say yes, Lord. Sir Leonard Wood once visited the King of France. Here's your history, brother. And amen. And the king was so pleased with him, they invited him for dinner the next day. And Sir Leonard went to the palace with the king meeting him in one of the halls and said, "Why, Sir Leonard, I did not expect to see you. How is it that you are here?" He said, "Did not your majesty invite me to dine with you?" said the astonished guest. "Yes," said the king, "but you did not answer my invitation." Then it was then that Sir Leonard Word uttered one of the choicest sentences of his life. He replied, My lord, a king's invitation is not to be answered. It is to be obeyed." Somebody say amen. Three great facts about worship. The greatest facts is, number one, God demands it. Will you obey? But let's go to the second great fact. Because not only does God demand it, God deserves it. Oh, come on now. Oh, God is our sovereign. He is our Lord. He is our King. He gave us the very breath. In fact, I was reading somewhere, I thought I saw it on Facebook or Instagram, what social media can be a blessing. And somebody said something to the effect, and I may get it wrong, that worship is really returning our breath back to the one who gave it to us. Amen? Yes, God can demand it, and He has every right to demand it. But let me tell you something, He deserves it. Because this takes us a little further. Don't we get upset with people, and this doesn't apply to God, but let me just use this for human example. Don't we get upset with people who demand things, but they don't deserve it? You know, this whole talk about illegal immigration, and I'm not here to take a political stand tonight. I'm just telling you that illegal immigration can actually hurt us from helping those who are really trying to come into our country. Amen. People say you're against immigration. It's not that. Because don't read anything political into this, because we love people from all nations, from all countries. God has raised us up to be a light to the world. And as He brings them into our country, people say, "Well, Brother Rickley, Muslims are moving into Wilson. They got a mosque down the road." I'm like, well, praise God, we get a chance to share Jesus with them. Amen. I could never go to Saudi Arabia. I don't intend to go to Islamabad. I mean, come on. But praise God, I can catch them on Tillman Road and tell them about Jesus. Amen, somebody. Turn the cup around. Use it not as an excuse, but an opportunity. And worship God through witnessing. Amen. But when somebody comes to our country, they don't pay any taxes, but yet they demand full health care. And they demand, take care of, you know, my needs, give me groceries monies. They don't work and they're not producing. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's an illegal immigrant. It could be a person right here. People sit at home all day and they want people like us that work hard all day to bail them out. And they have all these issues and they're demanding. Well, that's my right. They're demanding their rights. But let me tell you something. They don't deserve it. Are y'all with me here tonight? How about in the marriage? Let's make it a little home here. So the husband, he wants, I demand, you're my wife, you know, you cook my meals and you wash the clothes and you know, I'm the head of the house. I'm the man of God and I'm the ruler and this, that, and the other. Now he can demand it all he wants to. But if he don't roll out the trash, and if he don't cut the grass, and if he don't send a few flowers, he may demand it, but he sure ain't going to deserve it. Amen. How many of you wives know that yes, you honor your husband, but I'll tell you that when he's sweet and when he takes you out and when he does things and he fixes, wives, Mother's Day is next week, so I'm going to get on your side real quick. Hallelujah. But husbands, when we love our wives, you know, God, it just turns right around. They want to help us out even more. They don't have any problem. Why? Because we deserve it. You know what? When a man works hard and he does those things, wives have no problem doing anything because they love them. And that's the way it is with God. Let me tell you something. He deserves our worship. Praise God. He can demand it, but He also deserves it. Oh, listen, He gave you life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Did you know the human body is such an incredibly precise machine that if your sensors are working normally, you can do the following. You can feel on your fingertips or face a pressure that depresses your skin a bare 4/10,000ths of an inch. With your eye, you can see a small candle flame from 30 miles away at night. Your eye can also see 300,000 different colors in the light. Your nose can smell one drop of perfume diffused through a three-room apartment. Did you know that you can taste 4 tenths of table salt dissolved in 530 quarts of water? Your body is a miracle. You're asking for a miracle? You are a miracle. Dr. Francis Crick, who is not a Christian, along with Dr. James Watson, discovered DNA. I remember when they discovered DNA. They said that if all the DNA found in the human body were linked together and stretched out, it would reach to the moon and back. Somebody said if you could see half of what's going on and on inside of you, you'd be afraid to move. God, He gave you life. And you are to worship Him. He deserves it. Amen. Oh, are you alive tonight? The living, the prophet said, the living, I say, shall praise the Lord. I'm alive. I was Lazarus in that grave and stinking with the death of sin. But I heard Him call me out. Roll away the stone and Ricky, come forth. And I'm alive in Jesus Christ tonight. And He deserves my worship for the very life that I have. But not only do I have life, I got blessings in life. You see, I could be alive and not have a dollar to my name, not have a roof over my head. You know, it's one thing to be alive. There are people in our world. They're alive. They have life. And they should worship God just for the air they breathe. But they don't have the blessings that we have. Amen. God deserves our worship. Man, He not only gave me life, but let me tell you something. If He woke you up this morning, He deserves your worship. If you have a job at the Waffle House or Blessed By or Merck, then He deserves your worship. If you live in America, praise God, you could have been born, nothing to look down on other countries. But I thank God every day when I pray, thank you, Lord. I could have been born in Russia where they have a dictator now, and Vladimir Putin, who they're demonstrating and they're already arresting people. I'm so glad that every 4 years I can go to that ballot box and vote my conscience. Praise God, I'm blessed for living in America. I can drive a car. He deserves worship. I can see with contact lenses. He deserves my worship. I can hear with hearing aid if I need it. He deserves my... I tell you, why don't you stand up? He deserves your worship. If you've got clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and money in your bank and you have got any prosperity, you ought to worship. He deserves it. He demands it. But God, you've given us so much. Worship Him. He deserves it tonight. Oh, this is even better. You can be seated if you'd like. But listen, He deserves it because He gave me life and He gave me blessings, clothes and shoes and shelter. But let me tell you, the greatest reason of all that He deserves my worship is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. When God left the throne and stepped into humanity, not only did He become a human, He was born in a manger. I was reading the other day that we often picture the manger is made out of wood. That's because we're Westerners. Easterners built their mangers out of stone. That makes it even more realistic. He laid in an old stone cold manger with hay. We think with hay. They might not even had hay. He might have just laid there with the clothes. He lived not as a wealthy, rich aristocrat. He was just a carpenter. Actually, that's another thing I was reading the other day, that he probably was more of a stonemason than a carpenter. They didn't do a lot of woodwork in the Eastern world. So he in the Hebrew word that they translate carpenter, the King James guys translated it carpenter. And he probably did. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. So we don't want to get in an argument. But I just thought that was interesting. Yeah, because I could see him working with his hand, those hard things. God can take hard things and do great things out of it. That's what a stonemason does. He chisels and he chips and he works. I like that. Hey, man, I like the carpenter and I like the stonemason. Doesn't matter. He's still working on me to make me what I be. It took him just a week to make the sun, moon, the stars, the earth, and the moon, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Say it with me. He's still working on me. Amen, somebody. And listen, he was beaten. He was bruised. He was buried. Oh, the cross, the empty tomb. room, a second chance, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the Word of God I carry in my arms, hope of His soon return, the promise of an inheritance that fades not away. He deserves worship. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. You deserve it, Lord, for every good and perfect gift comes from You. Can you say amen tonight? God demands worship. Say amen. He deserves worship. Can you say amen? And lastly, and Darnell, get ready to sing. He desires worship. Brother Billy, if you don't mind, if you'll just close those two doors, because I want us to have some real focus on worship. And I know there's some activities going on. He not only demands it, He not only deserves it, but let me tell you something. He desires your worship. Yeah. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 23. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is. Somebody say right now. John 4 and 23. Right now. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Have we got it up? For the Father such to worship. God demands it. God desires it. Deserves it. But God desires. Did you hear that? All of creation can praise Him. All of the angels can praise Him. But listen. There's something missing until you praise Him. Think about that. If all of the trees of the field clap their hands, if the rocks cry out, if the seraphim cry, holy, 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 and even if all of the rest of humanity worships Him, but if I leave out my praise, then something is missing. Something is missing to God. Listen to me. This is a big, big point and a big, big thought that I want you to really, by the Holy Spirit, to really wrap around your mind tonight. Because I'm not just talking about us worshiping. I'm not just talking about creation worshiping. I'm talking about you and you and you and you. Your worship. If you withhold your worship that only you can give. You know you're unique. Amen. You know that. There's nobody like you. Amen. Nobody looks like you, talks like you, acts like you, walks like you. I mean, there could be similars. You could have an identical twin, and there might even be some. You look at identical twins, and you can tell if you get around them. You'll be able to tell the difference. In fact, turn around and tell somebody this. Say this. I don't want you to say it right. Tell your neighbor this. When God made you, He said, I won't do that again. You see, you are you. And you have something to give to God called your worship. Nobody else has the trials that you... See, you don't know what trials I've been through. And I don't know what trials you've been through. You don't know what background I come from. You don't know the opportunities, the situations. We are highly unique and intertwined that only that individual's person's praise can fill up that portion of God's desired and deserved worship. If you don't worship, then there's something in a sense that God will miss that nothing else can do. He desires your unique worship. And I don't know quite how you worship. Somebody will dance different than the other. Some will holler. Some will just shed a tear. Some will just smile. Some will shout on their neck. I remember Kevin Morin, who's one of our leaders in the North Carolina Conference, the music and executive pastor at Mount Olive First Pentecostal Homeless. His dad, Elmer Morin. I wish Carter Conlin, that preached down there at Falcon Friday night, I wish he could have walked into the Spring Hope Pentecostal Church, just walk in the door and you heard a man praying. And every time you'd go to a church where Elmer Moyne was the pastor, when you walked in the door, you heard a heavenly sound of a man praying. And I just want to tell you that sometimes Elmer Moyne, he would shout on his knees. I was a teenager, young teenager, and the first time we went to Spring Hope Pentecostal Owners Church, and that man just got to shout on his knees. I've never seen anybody do it. But my God, you're talking about a man in touch with the glory world. He had a unique way of working. Now, some of you shout on your knees. We'll have to take you visit you at the hospital tomorrow. I know. So don't attempt this at home. It is done by those who really have it, you know, have it in their unique mix. Okay. But if you strike a notion and want to shout on your knees, give it a try. Amen. There's just something that about your praise. A lady sung that several years ago. There's just something about my praise that nobody else can bring. So why don't you tonight? Because God demands it. Praise Him. Because He deserves it because of Calvary. Why don't you praise Him? And then why don't you praise Him if for no other reason? And there's many other reasons, but just do it because He wants you to. Lord, I love you tonight. Lord, I praise you tonight. Lord, I glorify you tonight. Oh, somebody give Him a hand of praise. I close with this, and Brother David, if you'll get Darnell's CD ready, and I'm going to ask you to come and worship as she sings, and when the CD is over and she's done, then I'm going to ask the Wilsons to just pick it up from there. But I close with this story tonight that I thought was kind of sums up what I'm saying, and I read this. It said, years ago, the Crown Prince of India, you know, England owned India for a long time, was the rulers over India. And so the Crown Prince of India, he gave to Queen Victoria the most precious thing that he had. He was a child prince, and he gave to the Queen of England the Coroner Diamond. Coroner Diamond. You can Google it. One of the most famous diamonds. The Coroner Diamond is perhaps the most famous in all of history. Do you know how big it was when the prince gave it to the queen? 186 carats. It was one of the world's most flawless diamonds. And can you imagine a diamond about the size of your fist? And as a child prince, he gave that diamond to the queen. And it was put with the crown jewels in the Tower of London in safekeeping. But years later, when the young prince became a man, he went to London again as an older man, as a grown man. He went to the Tower of London and he said, "Would you please place that diamond in my hand that I gave the queen many years ago?" And so they placed it in his hand. Then he went back to the queen. He said, "My queen, I want to give this diamond back to you one more time." She said, "Why?" He said, "Because when I gave it to you the first time, I didn't fully understand what I was doing. I gave it to you with the heart and mind of a child. But now with the heart and mind of a man, I want to give it back to you one more time with a deeper and a fuller meaning than I had the first time." And do you know what? That's how I feel about worship. I remember worshiping God as a teenager. And then I remember when I pastored my first church here and I would worship God. And now I've been through some things. And I'm in getting closer to middle life, and I feel my worship is deeper, and I sense my greater praise for God. And you know what's going to be so wonderful about eternity? 1 million years from now, I want to worship Him. But 2 million years from now, I'm going to pull that jewel back out and say, "God, I want to give it to you again." Do you want to do that tonight? Would you stand with me as Sister Darnell sings? Go ahead and hit play there. It's "Our Breath, Your Breath in His Lungs." I want you to worship. God demands it. God desires it. God deserves it.
needs your breath.
Would you come down and worship him?
So we pour out your praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord.
Come on. Give that diamond of worship back to him tonight. Do it over and over again tonight.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore.
It's a weapon.
Every heart that is broken.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All the earth will shout your praise.
Yes.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, sing.
Oh, all the earth will shout your praise.
Come on.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Yes.
In our lungs.
Hallelujah.
So we pour out our praise.
Yes.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. Lord, in your presence. If you need healing tonight, worship. If you need deliverance tonight, worship. Oh, we give you praise.
Great are you, Lord.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Amen. We bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. We worship you, Lord, at Westmoreland.
To the Father,
Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Praise the Lord. The Son, give him the glory. Great things he has done.
To God
be the glory.
Great things
he has done. Love the
Son,
he gave us his Son. Yes, of sin. To the the Father through Jesus the Son. Come on and give Him the glory.
Great things He has done.
You just sing as you're led.
Great things.